1910 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, taking back what the enemy took from you. Taking back what the enemy took from you. I can tell by that response that some of you are scared. Say with me, taking back what the enemy took from me. Now, if you believe that, come on, give God some praise today. Amen, amen, amen. We need to know what Scripture says about our rights, about our abilities in the Lord, especially when we have suffered injustices. We must be clear about the path of God, the program of God, the plan of God, and the power of God in such situations. There is nothing more empowering than to know what the word, the will, and the way of God is in such situations. David himself is coming off a three-day battle, and he gets to his hometown, and it's been burned to the ground. His enemies have come in and taken their wives, his two wives, the other men's wives, and their children, their cattle, their gold, their silver, anything and everything of value. They have left the place in ruins. Yeah, yeah. When David and his 600 men get back, they see what has happened, and they begin to cry in such great pain and agony that there was no more strength in them. As a matter of fact, their hearts and their souls were aching because they had lost everything in pursuit of battle. And there was so much pain, so much hurt, that the men became angry with David. Amen. And there was talk of stoning David to death. Now, one of the points I want to bring out clearly is you can't find encouragement most times from folk who are hurting also. Hurting folk usually can't help you. Hurting folk are looking for help. They generally don't give help. And so here David was looking for some encouragement from the men, but the men were downtrodden. The men were heartbroken. The men were so hurt that the only thing they could think of was hurting David. And so David, verse 6 says, had to encourage himself in the Lord. And I want to throw this out parenthetically as well as we walk through and pick out some nuggets in this word to help us in our journey. That when life gets to the point and to the place where the people around you are so fixed on the problems and the pains and the pitfalls, don't look at them for encouragement. Look to God. I know because you've gone through with them and they were there with you and they experienced what you experienced. Y'all would share a certain camaraderie and a certain brotherhood or kinship going through this thing. But my brothers and sisters, when it gets down to true pain, it's every man for himself. And so David knew he couldn't turn to them and get any kind of encouragement. So the word declares he encouraged himself in the Lord. Isn't it good to know that you can always encourage yourself in the Lord? Well, how do we do that? I'm glad you asked. We encourage ourselves in the Lord, one, through his word. We understand what he says to us. We understand what he's doing with us. And we understand what he will do for us when we understand his word. His fellowship, listen, gives to us a sense of encouragement just knowing what thus saith the Lord. Amen. He then goes in verse 7 to the priest and tells him to get his, what we call ephod, but it's an ephod, and to put on, it's like a mantle, so he could go to God. It was almost like a covering where he blocked out other things and gave himself totally to God. It was like a secret place when you have something great and meaningful that you need to get with God on, but you don't have a private place. One of the good things about the Lord is you can create your private place between you and God. And he goes to him and he has these two questions for God, because the Bible says, and David inquired at the Lord saying, shall I pursue, listen, this troop? This he wants to make sure, one, that his pursuit of this troop is right. Second thing he wants to know, if he pursues this troop, whether or not he will overtake them. Because one of the things he recognized is it don't make sense to make bad things worse. So he's seeking God for the answer in this situation, my brothers and sisters. Now, these are points and principles I want you to listen carefully to, because when we listen and look and learn from David, it'll help us in our own pursuits of the things that we are recovering from the enemy who has taken or stolen from us. First of all, David makes sure that God is on his side. And I need to tell you that there is nothing more comforting and reassuring than to know God is with you. I don't care what the battle is. I don't care how few the numbers may be. If God be for you, who can be against you? So shall I pursue this troop? We want to make sure that this is, one, the right people we're pursuing. Secondly, if we go after them, will we overtake them? And he answers him, the Lord answers him and says, pursue. Pursue. Go after them. Listen at this. He says, for thou shalt surely overtake them. I want to show you something here. The first thing God did, as David in verse 6 encouraged himself in the Lord, here we see God encouraging David. See, it's one thing for you to encourage yourself in the Lord. It's a whole nother thing when the Lord takes the responsibility to encourage you. Because the Lord knows just what you need. The Lord can reach you in places you could not otherwise be reached. And so he encourages David by telling him, pursue. Now, David was a man of battle, a man of war. David wasn't a scary man, but David knew that God wasn't in every battle. And having learned that, he wanted to make sure he didn't make a silly mistake by doing something God didn't want him to do. So he's encouraged because God tells him to pursue. But then secondly, God enlightens him through prophecy. All right. He enlightens him. Now listen to this. The Bible says, he says, for surely, for surely thou shalt overtake them. Now listen, if that's not prophecy, tell me what is. The Lord is telling him, if you pursue them, you will surely, assuredly, confidently overtake them. Now, why is that important for him to know? Because he knows not only is he encouraged to pursue his enemy that took his stuff, but secondly, that he was going to not just pursue them, but overtake them like they had overtaken his stuff. Now listen at this, man, this thing is getting better, it's getting stronger, and he's more and more encouraged and enlightened. But that's still not enough. Guess what else he needs? What God gives him, empowerment. Listen at what God tells him. He says, not only shall you overtake them, he says, and without fail, recover all. Man, would you not be excited if the enemy took something from you and you first conferred with God? God, can I pursue him? Can I pursue him and overtake him? Can I pursue him, overtake him, and get my stuff? And God says, yes. Can you imagine how exciting that would be when you go there in your enemy's house, your enemy's camp, and you kick down the door and you said, you shouldn't have done what you did. I'm here to take every bit of my stuff back from you. And while I'm taking my stuff, I'm going to take some more stuff on top of that. All because you made me come down. You made me act a fool like this.
Yeah.
Listen. And without fail, recover. Oh, verse 19 tells you, David went down there, and the Bible says he recovered. Oh, just in case you can't wait till the rest of the story comes. He went down there and got all his stuff. Amen. All his stuff. That's right. That's enough to shout on right there. Because somebody's looking at this thing in the spirit realm and say, if the enemy took David's stuff and David told the Lord, look, Lord, I want to go after him. I want to overtake him. And I want to get my stuff back. If God did it once, how many of you know God can do it again? Some of you are thinking about some stuff that you've lost, some stuff that's been stolen, some stuff that's been taken, and you just kind of let it go. You just kind of swept it under the rug. You just kind of wrote it off as a loss, but now something's stirring in your spirit saying, wait a minute, I don't have to take this loss. God, can I go get my stuff? Can I go and overtake the ones who have overtook my stuff, my people, my property, all of my stuff, and take it back from them? Do you know how empowering that is? Well, David took off with 600 men, got down by the river, 200 were too tired and weak to cross over, left them there, took 400 with him, got on the other side, saw an Egyptian, half dead. The men got him. They fed him fig Newtons and some raisin bread and gave him some water. He came back to life. David asked him who he was and who did he belong to. He said, I'm an Egyptian, and my master's an Amalekite. And we were on our way with this, all of this great riches. And David said, do you know where they're going? He said, listen, I know where they're going, but you got to promise me you're not going to kill me or turn me over to my master. David said, you got it. Let's go. He led them to the place where the enemy was laying back, chilling with all of David's stuff. David knew that God was with him. And if God was with him, there was none who could prevail against him. So from dawn, and I like that, because what that tells me is when you got the okay, you ain't got to wait all day. First light, early morning, he started the battle and whipped them from dawn till the next evening. Listen at this now. He only had 400 men. And listen, 400 of their men escaped by camel, but the rest were defeated, and David got back his two wives. The men got their wives, their children, sons and daughters, all of their property, all of their cattle, all of their possessions. And listen, I think I need to throw out parenthetically so you understand, it wasn't just David's town they raided. There were two others before him that they raided. So they had more stuff than David's stuff. But since David had defeated the enemy, and there wasn't but 400 of them who escaped, and they didn't take nothing with them but their lives, David said, ain't no sense in leaving all of this stuff. Let's take it and bring it on back home with us. So listen at how God increased him. See, when you're bold enough to go in the enemy's camp and take back what the enemy took from you, you'll see some other stuff that catches your eye that you can take with you because you are overtaking the enemy. And David took it all and lost none. None. How did he do it? And I want to help you understand this. One, through timing. See, if you're going to go and pursue and overtake your enemy, you got to have timing right. Timing right. You have got to make sure that everything is strategically lined up so that you pursue and overtake them at their weakest point and you're at your strongest point. He started the attack at dawn. They've been drinking all night, celebrating. They were really just starting to get sleepy in the early morning hours. Y'all know how it is, that sleep get good to you when it's almost time to wake up. And you just want 5 more minutes, 10 more minutes, 30 more minutes, but it's time to get up from there. And so he started his attack when they were the most comfortable. Timing. Somebody say timing is important. Timing is important. Not only is timing important, but temperament is important. Listen at this. You have got to make sure that your temperament is under control. Too hot-headed, and you don't think. And you can rush in too fast and get killed. If you're too hot-headed, that means most times you've not planned very well. You're letting your emotions and your feelings get the best of you. But when you are even tempered, meaning you're still passionate, but you're not overly heated. Women have an amazing ability to do that. Wives, husbands, don't sit there and act like you don't know what I'm talking about. When you act up and do this, that, and the other, and women will be cool under pressure. And you'll think they've forgotten about the issue and so forth. But their timing is impeccable. And when the timing is right, they might not get back or raise their issue or their concerns when you're looking for it. But it may be they know how to strategically hold their request till the right time. Yeah. And at the right time, they're able to bring out their request, which yield them the greatest return on their temperament. And my brothers and sisters, you're going to note that this is important in battle. All right. But thirdly, there's another most important thing that's going to be helpful in you learning how to take back from your enemy what he's taken from you. And that's putting your trust in God. Amen. So timing, temperament, and trust in God is going to be the thing. If David would not have trusted God, the story would not have ended like this. His trust in God, in spite of his hurt, in spite of his pain, in spite of his loss, was to hear from God. To get his confirmation from God. I want to do this, God, but is it all right for me to do this? God says, do it. He said, God, I don't want to just be doing it to be doing it. I want to do it and know that I'm going to win. You're going to win. God, I don't want to just win and ain't got nothing to show for it. I want to win and get all my stuff back. You'll get everything you lost. And his power was in trusting God. Yeah. Trusting God wasn't no new thing to David. You walk back through David's life, and there are occasions, one after the other, after the other, after the other, that he trusted God. And so this was just one more time of trusting God. So it was trust built upon another trust, upon trust, upon trust. And when you start trusting God like that, it's easy to take his word and know he's going to back it up. And that says to me, my brothers and sisters, that David got what he wanted from his enemy because he trusted God. And he, without delay, pursued. Now, let me say this to you. There are literally three reasons why you won't pursue the enemy who's taken or stolen your stuff. I want you to write it down because I know you're going to act like you don't know. The first one is because the stuff that's been taken isn't valuable to you. You see, because when the enemy takes something from you, what you do is assess how valuable that is. If it's not worth pursuing to you, then you say, well, it ain't no sense in me getting in no ruckus about this. It wasn't worth all of that anyway. Now, if that's the position you take, that's a good reason not to pursue your enemy, because 9 out of 10 times, you won't overtake them. You will not overtake them because you do not have the resolve that the end result of this thing is I'm coming back with my stuff. Because one, you do not consider it valuable. But there's another equally more important point that you may not pursue your enemy for your stuff back. And it is because it may not have been your stuff in the first place. I think that just kind of went over your head there. You can't make a big deal about something that ain't yours. It may be in your possession, but it don't mean it's yours. And if it's not yours, you do not have the same reality of passion and or legal rights to whatever it is that was not yours in the beginning. So you start thinking, well, it ain't my fight. I didn't own it anyhow. I should have given them folk their stuff back anyhow. That's not my stuff. And then you try and tell the people there where their stuff at. Man, they stole your stuff. You ought to go get your stuff. But they took it from you. And then the last reason why you may not pursue your enemy to get your stuff back is you're scared. You're scared. What will happen? What will happen if I go asking for my stuff back? What will happen? What will they do to me? I see what they've already done to my stuff, to my place, to my people. And if you are not passionate enough to want your stuff back because it is valuable to you. And listen, if for no other reason, it was your stuff.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone who
had to be independent and take initiative, and that's how I handle every project I get.
Discover new ways to develop great talent at gradsoflife.org, brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community, KAYT, Gina Alexandria.